Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Bismillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma alhimna marashida umurina wa a'idhna min shururi anfusina. Allah tabarakallah has made that this is a world in which a battle takes place between what is known as materialism and spirituality. Every war that we see happening around us, from the time of what we understand the Crusades, thereafter the Tatars, thereafter the World War I, World War II, the wars of recent times of Iraq, of Syria, all of these wars, the central theme behind this whole thing is not minerals, it's not weapons. It is the ability to be able to take possession over certain lands, lands of spirituality. Now you will wonder, what do Western world's material powers have to do with spirituality? But if you just think about the wars, there's no war being fought in North America. They're very far away, they got nothing to do with charm. Britain got nothing to do with charm. Whenever a country became an imperial power, a superpower, you will notice one thing, their attention always fell on the land of charm. These were Christian countries, whether it's America, whether it's Britain. They were not Jewish countries. The Christian and the Jew, they were supposed to be enemies till the ending. Because according to the Christian, the Jew killed their God. So the Christian is supposed to be friends with the Muslim. He's not supposed to be friends with the Jew. But whenever these superpowers came, you will see that their armies were utilized for the sake of the Jewish power, to be able to ensure that Israel is comfortable and the lands around it. So it does bring a question that what do they have to do with the land of Sham, the land of Al-Aqsa, the land of Palestine? They have to have something. A Sahabi radiallahu anh called Tamim Dari radiallahu anh, before accepting Islam, met Dajjal. At that time Dajjal was chained. He was in a form different to what he will be when he is in this ummah moving. Moving in this ummah, Rasulullah s.a.w. described him as young, normal person, normal looks. And it's something to understand that Dajjal will not look like what me and you think in our minds. Ugly, hideous. If he looks like that, he will be no threat, he will be no fitna, he will be no test. Rather, Dajjal, when he will move in the Ummah, and when me and you will see him, then 99% of the people who will see him will not believe he can be Dajjal. Remember this. The translation of Dajjal in English, the Antichrist, that's the wrong translation. That gives the impression that he will be against Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Anti. Nabi Isa's translation is the best, Al-Masih al-Dajjal. The one who will try to act like he is Isa alayhi salam. Think the difference between the two. You're waiting for an Antichrist. Someone bad, someone evil, someone hideous, someone ugly. And you find someone who's sitting as a world ruler, who resembles piety. يُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَسَ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that if someone is sick, he will be curing the child. He will be helping. He will be calling towards world peace. He will be behaving as Isa alayhi salam. Nabi Isa alayhi salam is central to every faith. So before Dajjal takes center stage, but remember, a man who's pious, a man who got a good outlook, a man who when a Muslim will see him, even a Muslim will say, this man is good. This man is what we were waiting for very long. This is Dajjal. Before he has to take central stage, you will have to get all three faiths, Christians, Jews, Muslims. uniting to work together. So if you have to look at what's happening now after the Gaza war, you will hear a lot of it in the next few years. It's called an Abrahamic faith. That we all belong to the same Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why fight? But that we supposed to have been saying from long. That we belong to the same, so why fight? But all those years, the Christians and the Jews never realized that. Islam was always the target. So the one who calls for an Abrahamic faith, you must understand it's a move towards creating one central power. Whoever is going to be the head of that one central power, he could verily, very easily be that Dajjal that Rasulullah ﷺ warned us about. The day you will see the world asking for one government, one currency, one Abrahamic faith, and one leader to rule this entire, to make sure there is no more war in the world, then even if he doesn't look like Dajjal, look again and look again and look again. Because Dajjal means the master of deception. So when you will see him, you're not supposed to see Dajjal. When you will see him, you are not supposed to see Dajjal. That's what's called the master of deception. Before that happens, a lot of effort has taken place in the lands of Al-Aqsa. It happened two times in history. One is when the Crusades suddenly decided that there is problems in the lands of Sham. There was no problems. Today all of them have admitted it was a lie. Christians and Muslims were living happily. Aqsa was an open ground for both of them. The Christians were allowed to come. When the Christians gave over Masjid al-Aqsa to Umar radiallahu anhu, they made a condition. Their condition was that as long as Jews are not allowed to al-Aqsa. That was their condition. So Christians and Muslims were coming to al-Aqsa. There was no Muslim force in al-Aqsa. There was no army. And suddenly an effort was made that every church in Europe started announcing, who is ready to save the holy lands from the Muslims. So the Crusades was the first attack on Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. The Christians themselves went for the war, they never knew why they went for the war. They were told, you will get there, whatever lands you can take, you are owners. They became lords. People who went to fight, they never knew why they fought. Muslims never understood why Aqsa was attacked, because it was never a threat. However, after Masjid al-Aqsa was taken away, and today they agree that a group came to the King of England who was now stationed in al-Aqsa. The Christians put up what is called four kingdoms to protect al-Aqsa from ever going back to the hands of Muslims. But one group came which were known as the Templar Knights, or the Knight Templars, whatever you want to call them. They came to say that we are very good people. We only want to look after this. And they gave it a name. For the Christians, it was always called a church. For Muslims, it was always called a masjid. No one, even the Jews, synagogue, no one has ever given the name temple, except devil worshippers. So this group came and said, we want to look after the temple of Solomon. There was no temple ever. And the king was so happy at that time, because this group offered their services for free. They even showed which place we want, where we will stay, a very simple place at the front. And that is where all the digging began. So this group, they already knew why they came. Muslims never understood why Al-Aqsa was attacked. Christians never understood why they attacked Al-Aqsa. But this group, they knew it all. Why? Because they were the ones acting behind the scenes. They were a group, not Jew, not Christian, not Muslim. They were a group that worshipped the devil. And on devil instructions, they went to Al-Aqsa to start digging. This was the first digging that took place, searching for what Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had buried in his era. That's why they even said the Temple of Solomon. And they dug. For 10 years they dug. After 10 years, news went out that this group is not Christian. They hate Jesus. So the king had called them. An investigation took place. Many of them were killed. One of them did say before being murdered, before being killed, that you can kill us, but what we were sent to find, we have already sent it back to Europe. So they found something. What they found at that time, again, Muslims would never know, Christians would never know, but they found something. It went back to Europe. And on the basis of whatever they found at that time, must remember when the Crusades took place, there was no America, there was no England, there was no Renaissance. Muslims were a very strong power in the world. Muslims were very strong. But something they found buried, and it was so important, that when people went to discover or research the Templar Knights, where they came out from, they realized that 100 years before, an effort was made to create this group. And every church had to be infiltrated to make them make the announcement, go to Al-Aqsa. So it had to be something so important, that years and years of effort, an entire war, the whole Europe to get together to get this. They got it. What they did with it at that time, we would never ever understand. But then with whatever they got, certain magic started in the world. Certain magic. That magic led to what we call the rise of Great Britain. Thereafter, the rise of the America, United States of America. It resulted in certain people becoming more powerful than the rest of the world. A Jewish lobby being established that controlled the banking system of the world, the education system of the world. The Renaissance never just started like that. The basis of the Renaissance, the rebirth of shaitani magic, was whatever they got from Masjid al-Aqsa. The details of that is very, very long. We're not going to worry about that. However, all these empires came. Great Britain was created, but they had to do one thing, make sure the land of Palestine now becomes easy for Jews around the world to come. The only reason Great Britain was going to do this is because the powers that created Great Britain were those very powers that once upon a time sent someone to go look in Al-Aqsa for what they were looking for. So what we call today a Jewish lobby is actually called a devilish lobby. They're not Jews. Like how the Temple Knights were not, Templar Knights were not Jews. Jews do not worship the devil. This is a group that worships the devil directly. Great Britain was established. Jews from around the world started coming to Israel. Christian armies were given. Everything happened and Israel was created. And in the light of narrations and Quran, it was understood that one day it's going to happen. When Tamim Dari met the Dajjal at that time when he was locked up, the Dajjal mentioned two lands Allah will never allow him to enter. Makkah Mukarrama, Madinah Munawwar. But there were two other places he never mentioned. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mention of four places where Allah tabarakallah will never give him that power that he's looking for. He mentioned only two. The third Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mention of is Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa. So I want you people to make an intention, visit Masjid al-Aqsa. One intention is to be able to derive the spiritual power that's in that land. There's an untapped power in that land. But when you go there, you will see around you so much of Jewish influence, armies. And you will wonder, with so much of power, what has prevented them from the time that they so-called took over Al-Aqsa until today that they still haven't taken over Al-Aqsa? From that time till today, there's no army protecting Al-Aqsa. They're not worried of the Arab worlds around protecting. They do whatever they want to do. The world saw it in Gaza. No one can stop them doing what they want to do. They control every lobby. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Dajjal will never get his control over this land. And you will see from the time they went into it until today, how many years have passed? How many years? Every year you'll hear they're going to put up the temple of Solomon. No temple is coming up. No temple is coming up. They're still digging. They're still digging. What they're digging for now, like how we don't know what they dug for that time, but they know what they're digging for. There is one thing that they still haven't found. And as long as they don't find that one thing under Al-Aqsa, they cannot collapse Al-Aqsa. That is why they will not bring dynamites. They will not bring bulldozers. They will not start any building of the temple. Because they're looking for one thing. How small that thing is, it must be so small that when they take out their sand after digging, they send the sand for testing. So they are searching in the sand for it. We will never know what they're digging for. An indication perhaps can be taken from a hadith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And we know they have a lot of interest in this ring. Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he passed away, before passing away, he had certain things buried. Many of those things is what they went looking for and they found. But when he had things buried, he would definitely have also buried his ring. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself mentioned that before Qiyamah, Allah will take out a beast from the earth, and that beast will come with two great powers. One is the staff of Musa alayhi salam, one is the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam. My inclination is, Allah has made that beast of the earth in charge of looking after this ring. Because it's a beast of the earth, it moves in the earth like sand. So if this group of shaitani powers dig under Al-Aqsa, and for 10, 15 years they have dug, and the ring is right in front with all their machines, gadgets, searching for one ring. Just before they reach there, the beast just moves it. That's all. And they finish up this whole line. Then they bring all that sand back. They fill it again, because you have to start digging next door. Allah made it, looking for one ring will make sure they'll never decide to collapse Masjid Al-Aqsa. Never. Because you collapse it, your chance of finding the ring is zero. So they'll stand with all their powers there and carry on digging until the time when Allah's decision comes for their defeat, that land. To visit this land, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about. Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib rahimullah wrote a kitab called Muqamat-e-Muqaddasa. There are certain unique places in this world. Makkah Mukarrama is one. There is a certain power of Allah that falls on it. Certain power. You cannot see it with the eye, but the heart understands it. That is why a man who goes for Umrah, a man who goes for Hajj, no matter how much he pays for it, when he leaves, he wants to go back. Is it the beautiful hotels? No way. Because people came even before the hotels. Is it the khilaf of the Kaaba? No way, because the khilaf is changed every year. There are times people look at the wall itself, the brick. Is it the bricks? No way, because once upon a time there was something else in its place. There is a certain thing that falls on the Kaaba. The heart understands it, not the eye. It makes a person who's bad also become good. It makes a man who could never cry, cry. It can make a non-Muslim accept Islam. It is something that falls and it falls on the people around. And as a man makes tawaf around the Kaaba, a man reads Quran, a man just looks at it, he feels it. This is called tajalli. Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib spoke of that tajalli. The tajalli is unique as a spiritual power. But if the tajalli can be grabbed by evil elements, it could be unique as a magical power also. Because he knows he's not getting Makkah Mukarrama, he's not even going to go in that direction. That is why all the superpowers that came, they never made war against Makkah Mukarramah. They never made war against Medina Munawwara. There's a tajalli that falls there on the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then it explodes from there like a waterfall. Anyone who went to Medina Munawwara, when he stands in the masjid, he'll feel it. It will bring him back. It will bring him back. But then there's a tajalli that falls in Al-Aqsa. 40 years after it began on the Kaaba. 40 years after that, Allah Tabarakala started the wall on Al-Aqsa. This tajalli. There's a waterfall. However, because Allah Tabarakala did not give Al-Aqsa that amount of protection like Makkah Mukarrama, He allowed them to enter, but not fully, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Dajjal will never get this one. They are there. And they are trying to draw from it whatever they can. Me and you, we must make sure we also there. When the chance comes, there was a reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about who ties his ihram in Al-Aqsa. And then he makes a journey for Umrah. He comes out of it like the day his mother gave birth to him. There is something in this land that is meant for me and you. This land, Al-Aqsa, is Muslim, is Islamic, is the land of spirituality, whoever wants to take that spirituality. Those people who go to Al-Aqsa to make i'tikaf, they will say to you, we feel something here that we don't feel anywhere else in the world. It's not an easy i'tikaf, it's not a comfortable i'tikaf, but something falls in this land. For years they are in this land trying to grab what they want to grab. Me and you also make an intention. So I just came to make this. My one friend, before the bayan started, he said, today the jamaats went out. He said, make tashkil, make sure you make tashkil after. I said, I'll definitely make tashkil. So one tashkil is, the jamaat is here, alhamdulillah. One tashkil is to go in the path of Almighty Allah. In the month of Ramadan, everyone make intention. A second one is, if a jamaat can go to Al-Aqsa. If a jamaat can go to Al-Aqsa. That's a lovely tashkil. And the third tashkil, I know before he comes to take your name, is I'll ask this tashkil. This one everyone will say, inshallah. That may Allah make it that one umrah we make from Allah.